This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dan Shazier, Josh Robinson, Brandon McGee, to name a few of the kids that have come out of that program. We'll talk to Coach Davis at 6:30. At 6:20, Wesley Frater from TOC Sports, Tournament of Champions Sports. They always run some great things. This weekend is their big event, basketball and football, 7-on-7. That'll be happening at Coral Gables High School. Wesley will touch more on that when we join him. But we're going to kick things off going up to Palm Beach County as we do quite a bit in during the course of the year, touch on FAU sports. A lot of our audience really, really listens to Florida Atlantic University sports, especially this time of year when you just completed baseball and football right now, going throughout the summer with Lane Kiffin, has his camp season. They started this weekend with a 7-on-7 that Miramar won, and they'll go right through the next couple of weeks with some of the other camps. Nobody has a pulse on that program like Jake Ellman from the Palm Beach Post. Jake's kind enough to join us this evening to kick our 6 o'clock hour off. Jake, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me on, my friend. Always fun to come on.
And, yeah, this is and congratulations on your graduation recently. I know that was exciting. And now you're in the big time. Now you're in that working world of survival. But nothing you can't handle, being a Yankee fan and all that stuff. Talk us through some of the, you know, I know you said the camp this last weekend was a really good one because you had a lot of local programs compete in the 7-on-7. But this is some serious stuff because you get the kids on campus this time of year. Nobody else is on the campus, so you get to pretty much take them everywhere and anywhere, show them every facility, and they did. How valuable is this for a program like FAU to get so many marquee high school programs on campus?
These camps are just so important, Larry, especially now with FAU. You know, you have that new training facility, the Schmidt. It's not open yet. We're still looking at late 2019, maybe early 2020. Everything I'm hearing is still kind of that late November, early December window. So you get these kids on campus, they see the stadium, they see the Schmidt, they get to meet the coaches, they get to hang out with Charlie Weiss Jr., who, like them, plays Fortnite, has a Nintendo Switch. He's not that much older than them. And it's big. I know that we've talked in the past about the FAU needs to kind of stay local in the Palm Beach, Broward, Miami-Dade areas. They did in this past signing class. And, you know, with these camps, you get the kids in, and, you know, all it takes is one team to like you, whether it's getting offered a scholarship now, whether it's getting offered a scholarship in a couple months, whether it's even a team or even a coach seeing one of these receivers or one of these defensive backs and saying, hey, you know, we would like to bring in as a preferred walk-on. So these camps are great.
Right.
Great experience for the kids, great experience for some of these TAs and coaches to get some experience watching. And, you know, sometimes they'll have the FAU players going help. Like T.J. Young will play the Palm Beach Lakes. I heard that he was working with the Palm Beach Lakes players yesterday. That's fun. Yeah, it's great for everybody.
Yeah, and also the one thing that's really, really good for them is they get a chance to see this program now that it's rolling, now that it has a lot of the marquee kids from the local area that they identify with. And you take a look at a Miramar program that came out and some of the other teams that we had an opportunity to, you know, to watch throughout the course of the year, and they win the event. But at the same time, as you mentioned, the downtime, you get a chance to see some of the coaches. It's their event. It's their campus. You know, I know that Lane Kiffin has long been a proponent of getting as many kids on his campus as possible, and that no matter where he's been. I mean, it's vital. I know it sounds funny, Jake, but there's a lot of of colleges that never really wanted, you know, people on their campus. They kind of like, you know, big deal, you know. But he has really run with it throughout the years for the kids to see a beautiful stadium. I mean, this is a big-time stadium. I mean, every time we go there and we see it, you know, you shake your head and figure, wow, you know, I mean, this is really nice. And now the amount of college programs that are in the state of Florida. I mean, we were reflecting back to 1970, where there was only six and then two club programs. We've reached 21 football-playing college programs in the state, FAU being one of those programs now in a county that has Kaiser as well. So, I mean, it's good for them, and it's good to have a Miramar program or any of those high-profile programs, because what they're going to do is take pictures, and they're going to run those pictures, had a great time at FAU. This is their locker room. This is their weight training facility. So it's a win-win all the way around.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, one of the biggest things that happened last year was you have these camps, and as you get into the summer, you start seeing kids commit. And listen, and I know that we've talked about this before. You know, if a kid commits in August, it doesn't mean that, you know, it's going to wind up working out. You know, maybe he flips,
right?
He doesn't qualify, but you know, it's a good thing to be able to have a kid stay on June 3rd. You know, hey, FAU's in my top five. Hey, I could really see myself coming here. FAU got a commit yesterday. Andre Llamas, I mean, he's from Christopher Columbus. I need to double-check on how to pronounce his name. He's a guard, 6'3", you know, big kid. Obviously, FAU signed Federico Marangas from Christopher Columbus last week, too. So, and that goes back to what you were saying with Miramar, is these kids come and they see their old teammates, or they see the kids that were there before them, the kids that they grew up with, and they're able to say, hey, you know, I want to be the next T.J. Young. I want to be the next Devin Singletary. I want to be the next Jalen Young. I want to be the next whoever. And I think with how much success FAU's had with local kids, it's a great thing to be able to have all these kids that were in the same neighborhoods, were in the same situations that these kids were in. And if they're able to see, oh, you know, Devin Singletary is from Deerfield Beach, and you know, now he's in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah.
Scott Smith went to Miami Homestead. He could be in the NFL next.
I mean, it's huge. I mean, and I agree. Now, you're talking about guys like Singletary and other players. FAU's in that mode right now where they've gotten a few kids to come in. We see the recent quarterback acquisition, as my buddy would call it. You're having an opportunity to see a lot of big-time talent come through Boca Raton now, and that has to be fun. Talk about that. I mean, talk about some of the kids that, you know, they've gotten the recent classes that have made – you know, the difference, and have been impact players. As you say, somebody like a Singletary who's getting recognition on the NFL draft. And, I mean, that has to be huge for not only for the city, but for the entire school and all the alumni as well.
I'll tell you, Larry, I'm really excited once fall camp starts, I'm really excited to see these second-year players and even some of these third-year players that really haven't had much of an opportunity, guys like Jordan Morrell from St. Thomas. You know, I mentioned T.J. Young from Palm Beach Lakes. You know, even Federico Marangas, a freshman. You know, these guys, these local guys that, you know, maybe they weren't the top prospects, or with guys like T.J. Young, maybe they were top, maybe they were, you know, high group of five, lower power five guys. But they're here. You know, there's a lot of opportunity for guys to show out, show what they can do. You lose a lot of guys to graduation. You lose three guys early to the draft. That's a lot of holes.
Yep.
That's a lot of space. So we'll see what happens over the summer. And FAU, as you know, like you said, acquired. I think that's a fair word. Big name talent. I really like Calvin Ashley, this right tackle from Auburn, former five-star prospect. He's trying to get a waiver to play immediately. We'll see what happens with that. Obviously, now it seems like it's easier to get these waivers. If he gets a waiver and FAU plugs him in at right tackle, that little offensive line was up and down last year. They were okay, you know, not as great, obviously, as 2 years ago, and I think not as great as they could have been.
Right.
You put him in there with Brandon Walton at left tackle, DJ Etienne at left guard, Nick Weber at right guard, Junior Diaz at center, you know, all these local guys.
Yeah.
That's a good offensive line with a talented backfield.
And, you know, you brought up Nick Weber. I felt when he came out of Douglas, that was the biggest steal. I mean, I just said, you know, he was technically as good as anybody. He just didn't have the, you know, the power five size to, for a Miami or, you know, an Auburn or a school like that to go after him. But the kid from a technical standpoint, the offensive line coach has to be in heaven with him.
And that's what FAU is really doing well. Even going back to when Charlie Partridge was here, is taking these local guys that maybe aren't the biggest, you know, maybe need a little bit more development. Maybe we're going to FCS or Division III and saying, hey, you know, we'll bring you in as a preferred walk-on and we'll give you an opportunity. Guys like Jose Barnwell, who was going to go to UCF after starting at FAU, you know, he stays here, he gets put on a scholarship at linebacker. He had a good spring.
Yeah.
So I think FAU has really done a good job at identifying not the lower level of talent, but some of these guys that slipped through the cracks.
Yeah, no doubt. Jake Elman joining us, Palm Beach Post, covers FAU and a lot of other things, also plugged into the high school circle. I mean, also you take a look at the program from an interest standpoint, and you and I have talked about this a million times of getting the local kids because it's going to put it's going to put fans in those seats. I mean, he, and I always felt that if you get a Glade Central Pahokee type of kid, maybe a couple of them every so often, and maybe have five or six in a cycle, you're automatically going to get interest. The same thing with the Palm Beach Lakes. I'm amazed how Boca Raton they've never gotten a kid directly out of Boca High, which is across the street. Now, they've gone there, they've come back from other schools, but that's amazing to me. I mean, here's a school right across the street that now starting to get kids like Pratt and quarterback like that and players. So you would think that Coach Kiffin now makes that program as well as some of the others in the area a priority.
Well, you bring up Michael Pratt. I'm really excited to see where he winds up because that's a very talented kid. You know, I think for as talented as he is now, I think his ceiling is so much higher.
Yeah.
And FAU really wants him. You know, he visited Toledo. Seems like there's a lot of the MAC schools that want him, the Ivy League schools. I would not be surprised to see FAU kind of put on that full court press for Pratt, especially with Chris Robinson's status kind of up in the air after, you know, that sexual battery investigation back in December. So
right.
We'll see what happens with Pratt. Great player. You know, I tweeted this out earlier, you know, my unofficial kind of top 10, super 11, he's right up there. I think he's the best quarterback in Palm Beach County, and it's not a race.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
And he has been for a while. I mean, he's a good kid. He's an academic-minded kid, which is always a plus. Anytime you could tuck one of those kids into your program and not have to worry about them for any reason, from a character issue, from grade issues, I mean, what a pleasant addition that would be. Jake, again, as always, thanks so much for bringing it strong. We'll check with you throughout the summer. It's going to be a long summer. We'll look to you for all these updates. And again, tell everybody how they can follow along with you.
Yeah, so my old Twitter got taken down, so my new Twitter is JakeElman97.
Okay, and they can follow you through there. You're posting a lot of great stuff, a lot of updates on what's going on at FAU. I'm sure you'll have some camp information as time goes on. Thanks again. Well, we'll talk to you real soon.
Thanks again, Larry. Always a pleasure.
Good stuff. Jake Elman, Palm Beach Post, covers FAU and does a tremendous job. He will be one of our mainstays during the summer because I'll tell you what, even though we're talking a little bit north, we still have tons of kids from Dade Broward that are always in the mix there. Big show up until 8 o'clock this evening. Don't forget, Stanley Cup hockey coming your way. Blues and the Bruins at 8 o'clock. Hector and Willie with us the whole evening. They'll stay here through hockey. Big show, as I said. Butch Davis will join us at 6:45. Coach Steve Davis, no relation, from Plantation High School at 6:30. And when we come back, we'll talk to Wesley Frater from Tournament of Champions Sports.
This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with your host, Larry Bluestein, on 560 WQAM.
Back with you up until 8 o'clock this evening. Big show on hand. Butch Davis will join us at 6:45 or so, just coming up in a few minutes from now. The Centene South Florida High School Sports Show is cared for by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. As we thank Jake Elman from FAU and the Palm Beach Post for joining us, we bring in a gentleman who has, you know, has done so much for the youth of the area, and certainly his event coming up this Saturday at Coral Gables High School illustrates that. A combination of 7-on-7 football, linemen, and also basketball. Wesley Frater for Tournament of Champions is always on the go, and he's excited to join us tonight. I know that. How you doing there, Wes? You there? You there with us, Wes? You there? You there?
Yes, I am.
There you are. Sorry, I pushed up the wrong one. Certainly a big guy. I know you do a lot during the course of the year, but this is a weekend you kind of look forward to because it combines your two favorite sports in basketball and football, and certainly the youth of this area, the high school teams, the guys that have helped support you for the last 3-plus decades. Talk about that and talk about the event that's coming up, and it's at Coral Gables High School.
It is at Coral Gables High School. First time it's been held on the South End. And you're right. I was thinking about the 7-on-7. It is something we've been doing now, I think, for 13 years. And it is something that grew out of when Nike was in the area a lot. And I call it the coach's 7-on-7 because a lot of the rules, a lot of the times, and the way we do it is by the coaches. It's people like Ice Harris and Vern Lewis over at Northwestern and Roland Smith. I get with those guys, and it's a coach's event, the 7-on-7. That's what makes it special.
And they get to stay home. I mean, they don't have to go all over the darn you know, state or the southeast, but they're home. It's an event where everybody knows one another. It's something where, as you mentioned, I was talking to Coach Hippolyte from Carroll City. He's excited about the event as well. You know, and Carroll City is certainly a staple of the community as far as football. And you've had this going on. I remember at Amelia Earhart Park. You've had it at a few different venues. Carl Gable seems like a really nice area to have it, and there's a lot going on.
It's an excellent area. I wanted to give something to that Coconut Grove area for the kids in that area to come out to see good football. The 7-on-7 is not just about the competition on the field, but to have somewhere safe and constructive for these young people during the summer. And then number three, you mentioned finance. As you know, a lot of these schools, especially the public schools, do not have the financial capabilities to travel around the country. And so this is something where they can stay home, save their money, and compete in what I think is the best competition in the world, which is Miami-Dade County. I usually put on social media, if you're going to be a state champion in the state of Florida, you have to beat the Miami team.
Yep. Yeah, usually that has been the case, and certainly having the you know, you bringing in over the last couple of years, you brought in Western, a program that's very much on the rise with Coach Rack, I mean, you go after the heavyweights, and for good reason. I mean, like you just mentioned, if you're going to go away and play somebody in, you know, Jacksonville or Georgia, you're not going to get the game and game competition like you're going to get when you play a 7-on-7 or a game down here.
Right. You know, a lot of football players in the United States play football so they could win a game. Miami kids, and especially, or South Florida kids, they play football so they can eat.
Yeah.
It's a matter of survival, leaving some desperate situations at homes that, you know, we don't need to speak of on this radio show, but there's some desperate situation there. And some kids play football for way more than just winning a football game, but they're trying to get somewhere where they could sleep and eat or have an air conditioning for the first time in their lives.
Yep,
so that kind of stigma is taken on the field. Can you line up against a kid from down here? Can you take the trash talking, the physicality of it? And I just think that I have probably one of the better 7-on-7 here in the country as far as speed and football ability and toughness. And that's what I love about it.
Yeah, no doubt. Wesley Frater joining us, Tournament of Champions Sports. you also take a look at, you know, to what you just said. And, you know, unfortunately, we lost one of our young kids, Joshua Ankrum, who I mm-hmm. went to the funeral on Saturday, which is really mm-hmm. sad. But part of that was a lot of the people who talked, you know, about him and his zest for competition and playing mm-hmm. against some of the top football programs and giving himself a chance to get a college scholarship. So for the first time in his life, he will have that, you know, that constant, you know, cushion, you know, mm-hmm. that he doesn't have now. That's so important. I mean, because this becomes real life when what happened happened. But at the same time, people don't understand, Wesley, that this is something that you go out to this event on Saturday and you mm-hmm. will see exactly what you and I are talking about. This isn't any fooling around. These kids go out there. They know that if Carroll City's going against Booker T, you know that the other side's going to bring it just as hard as you are. So,
right.
And that's important. And you've seen it. I mean, you've right. seen it from every angle. You've seen it from the basketball angle. You've seen it from football. You know which kids are coming out of that out of the streets hungrier than most.
Yes. I have, as an African American myself, or African here in this community, I have seen and heard of some dire situations. I know why kids stay after school so late until 7, 8, 9 o'clock. There's no home to go to. And I know that people are very critical of athletes when they make these mistakes in their lives, but if they only knew what these kids have to go through and the life situations that they have, that football sometimes becomes their only chance to really be free or happen that they could be proud of. And if they could put their education with that and move on to a college rank and get an education with it, if they're lucky enough to go on to the pro ranks, which in this area a lot of them do, and then that's good for the kids. But it's business out there for these kids. It's serious. It's not a joke for them.
No, I understand. Talk about the teams that you have that will be there.
Sure. This year we have South Ridge, Booker T, Coconut Creek, Jackson, new coach over at Dillard. Northwestern is always supportive. Coral Gables, of course, Homestead, American, and then Carroll City. We have a team coming in off the coast, East Fort Myers, Miami Lakes, Miami Hines, South Plantation, who wants to compete here. And we love the field. It's a competitive field, and I think it's – I often brag I think it's one of the best in the country.
Yeah. No, I mean, no doubt the teams that you read off, especially – and you talk about Coach Frazier over at Dillard, the new coach. It
yes.
took for Coach Toriano, who left and went back to college. I mean, you yes. can't fault somebody for doing that.
No, you can't.
But at the same time, what he does, Wesley, is now he knows this talent down here, and it's important for him to understand that, you know, now he can come down here and get kids for his college program and understand that these kids are top flight. Again, Wesley, as always, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. We will see you out there on Saturday. I'm looking forward to it. We get underway at 8 o'clock, the Lyman Challenge. Also, you got competition going on in football. I can't wait.
Thank you very much, and for all that you do for football also, Larry, in South Florida. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Wesley Frater, Tournament of Champion Sports, has a really good event coming up on Saturday, Coral Gables High School. Well, on our blog, SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com, I'd like to push that website because we get a lot of traffic, 10 blogs per week, SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com. We'll have that as our Friday focus, some of the teams to look out for. So we thank Wesley so much for joining us. Taking a switch back into high school, had an opportunity to see a lot of high school football programs during the spring competition, a lot of coaches, kids turning on. One of the more impressive programs throughout the last few years has been Plantation. Coach Steve Davis has done an awesome job with the Colonels. They played a competitive spring. They had an opportunity to look at some younger players, and they have some really good prospects. But I also recalled the past teams and all the teams at Plantation with Ryan Shazier and Josh Robinson and Brandon McGee and so many others who have gone on to the next level. Steve Davis has definitely been responsible for a lot of that throughout the years. He's a local guy who really was a tremendous athlete, has come back and has been just an outstanding coach and mentor. He's kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
Hey, how you doing, Larry?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I kind of recited just a few of the kids that played for you, whether it had been at Ely with Tyrone Moss and that great team that you had during the state championship run, or at Plantation where you've had just a remarkable career with some outstanding football talent, outstanding great kids who come back a lot to visit you as well.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. We've had a good run with a lot of great kids, not just the kids that went to the NFL, but we've had just a lot of kids that have been very quality players for us throughout the years at Plantation and then, you know, back at years when I was up at Blanche-Ely.
You've come from this area, played in this area, you know the talent that has come out of this area for all those years. Wesley Frater was just alluding to that. Sometimes there's not a need to go away and go to Georgia and South Carolina and all that. When you want to get competition, you stay in your own backyard. You've had an opportunity to do that. You moved to 8A the last few years, and the thing that got you to be that type of team in 8A was being in 7A and having to play at St. Thomas all the time and getting better and not wanting to be just an automatic W for them. That's something that you look forward to, because as you play those teams and you compete for them for playoff spots, you get better. Talk about that, because I think that's important, because you could see the rise in your team over the last 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah, definitely, Larry. And I tell everybody when I go, you know, outside, out of town and things like that, I always say, listen, the best football by far is in South Florida. And, you know, they're great players in other parts of the country, but down here, I mean, there's just the amount of players that you have in this small area down here in South Florida is incredible. And really, you know, it doesn't matter really what classification you're in. If you're in South Florida, you have to play quality teams on a weekly basis. We have great coaching that I think is really underrated down here in South Florida, in Dade and Broward counties. And, if you want to play the best football and if you're going to be ready for college, you come to South Florida and you're definitely going to get prepared.
And also, Coach, when you have an opportunity to talk to your teams, your young teams, about some of the guys that have, you know, come through your programs, whether, like I said, whether it was at Ely with outstanding teams, especially we talk about Tyrone Moss, what an inspiration he was. And I know that, he was one of the favorites of you, as well as Ryan Shazier and Josh Robinson and all these guys who have left a mark on these younger kids who, you find yourself, kids saying, I want to be like Ryan. I want to be like Josh. I want to be like Tyrone. And, you say to yourself, you know what? We had such a pleasure being around those kids for all those years and watching them grow into unbelievable men.
Oh, most definitely. And we talk about, as a coaching staff, about those kids all the time. And we try to bring those kids to our kids' attention, what type of players they were. And not only what type of players they were, but their off-season conditioning programs, what they did in the classroom, the type of people they were. And I think those things are even more important to share with the young kids that are coming along, what type of people Ryan Shazier, Jerome Howard, all these guys that we've had at Plantation over the years. And they come back now every year on June 24th, Jerome Howard and Shazier and Sojourner Shelton, those guys come back and they're doing a camp. And we have a lot of Plantation football alumni that come back and help. And they put on a whole one-day seminar. They feed the kids at the school. And they really give back and talk to the kids about being entrepreneurs and, starting their own businesses and things like that, which I really think is important for these kids to hear.
Extremely important. I mean, there's as well as I do, when you have a balance in the classroom and on the athletic field, as we saw with so many of your student athletes over the years, it sets an example. And I think, as we've learned, and especially in the past with a lot of these student athletes in South Florida, they just don't have a direction. They just don't have a peer to come back and somebody they can look up to and blaze a path that they know. We used to say, Deion Sanders coming back to North Fort Myers High School and saying, hey, you could get all this, but you got to run a 4.26. But these kids that come out of your program, whether they go to the NFL or whether they go to college and they come back with that diploma, to me, that seems like that's the main objective of what you guys are doing.
That's it, Larry. You hit the nail on the head. I mean, because really, you know, that's what it's all about. We all know the statistics. You know, 1% will make it to the NFL. But, you know, you can use high school football as a vehicle to get you to the next level. And that's what we really like to promote. And, you know, the kids here in South Florida, all of them are, you know, kids in South Florida are very confident, as we all know.
Yes.
And, everybody thinks they're going to the NFL. But, you know, really, you know, if you have that talent, you'll make it to that level. But you want to use football as a vehicle to get you to a college degree where, you know, you don't have to pay and things of that nature. So, you know, that's what we try to promote. And I know you do it a lot here in South Florida, and you're like, people don't realize what you really do for the kids here with promoting them and things of that nature. And that's all very much appreciated here in South Florida.
I think that. And, you know, the whole thing is it's all about the kids and trying to give them the opportunity. And you know that, and you've spent your pretty much your entire career. We talked about that up in Palm Beach about how, you know, what you do for the kids now are going to pay off. You know, we look at some of your younger kids like Jacoby, and you look at him and he's a sophomore, going to be a junior, and he's as talented as you've had, but there's a learning process. He's got to mature. He's got to, you know, he's got to go through the entire package that everybody else has to. And that means getting the grades in the classroom. And you've had a lot of those kids over the years that have been able to get it, you know, I mean, and even though they didn't play in the NFL, they went on and now they have families, and hopefully soon a lot of those families are going to start bringing some of those players back to you.
And
obviously that's extremely important as well. Now you started, they start officially the summer practices and stuff. Now what are you guys going to be doing during the summer? Are you going to take kids anywhere? They're going to go on trips or what?
Yeah, we have a group that's going off on the 11th. They'll be going for about 6 or 7 days.
Oh, nice.
To several schools. Yeah, we're going to go up to Georgia Tech, Florida State, UF, UCF. Just get kids out of town and let them see the college campuses and things of that nature, and you know, compete against some other kids out of state. And I think that's good for you. And then we'll come back on and we'll start our organized team activities mid June. At Plantation High, and then we'll grind all the way until we can start officially in late July, and then, you know, it's on then, you know.
Yeah.
We have a lot of great teams that we have to face this season, great coaching staff, so we got a lot of work to do this summer, and like those young kids like Jacoby you're talking about, they have to, you know, work hard this summer, and they'll be ready for the challenge.
Good stuff. Well, Coach, again, thanks for joining us. I know that the summer is going to be very productive for you. It always is. The kids are going to get bigger and faster and stronger, and at the same time, keep that focus on their grades so they can, you know, so if football is not their calling, you know, something will be like a lot of the other kids. Again, thanks so much. Have a great summer. I know we'll see you somewhere along the line.
Okay, thank you for having me on, Larry. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Coach Steve Davis from Plantation, great guy. You know, if you followed him over the years, he's coached some tremendous football kids. I mean, you know, not just teams, but at Ely, at a state championship team. Awesome. When we come back, Butch Davis will join us from FIU, talk about some of the summer camps coming up, and he's got a great schedule.
This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with your host, Larry Bluestein, on 560 WQAM.
Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports.com radio show for a Monday evening, right up until 8 o'clock with you. We have Stanley Cup playoff action, Blues and Bruins coming up. The Centene South Florida High School Sports Show is cared for by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. Thanks so much to Steve Davis, the head coach at Plantation, and also to Wesley Frater for our Tournament of Champions Sports for joining us. As we told you, this is big doings the month of June for colleges around the country, especially here in South Florida. A lot of camps and events going on. And at FIU, they are going to be busy, especially this week. Two big camps coming up on Thursday and then again Saturday, and then it'll repeat itself. Coach Butch Davis, who loves this time of year. I know he does. He gets an opportunity to see a lot of the college coaches from around the country come on his campus along with some of the top athletes. He's kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
It's always great to be with you, Larry, and just listening to your presentation there, and absolutely, this is an unbelievably exciting time of the year for not only high school football players, but obviously for our coaching staff to get the kids on our campus and to have the camps, and Last year and the year before, Larry, we probably have been close to having 3,000 kids come to our camps over the summertime. And it's, you know, it's a great opportunity for them to come. And, you know, this Thursday we have 13 other universities that will be there. So it's a great chance for them to kind of showcase who they are and what kind of player they are.
You know, Coach, the one thing that you – and I see you at all the camps, and the one thing that I think you relish the most is getting an opportunity to talk to some of those other coaches that you've known forever. I mean, you know, last year you had Georgia Tech and Pittsburgh and Nebraska and all these schools on campus. This mm-hmm. year looking at the same type of programs. What's it like for you when you see a lot of these guys that you've coached against, maybe even coached at one yeah. time during your career?
Yeah, you know, Larry, it really is. It's kind of good to kind of pick each other's brains and talk. I know that 2 years ago, Urban Meyer and Nick Saban came to our camps, and you know, and it was good to kind of visit with them and you know, kind of you know, what are they doing? How's you know, how have they built their programs to where they got to at the time? And obviously, Alabama's kind of been the featured program sure. across the country. And so it's good, you know, I've coached against them, I've coached with them in all-star games, and so it's kind of good to get their opinions and talk. And you know, this year, again, like I said, we're going to have close to 13 other universities that will come in this weekend, and it'll be fun to kind of share some things with them.
When you get a chance to, you have an opportunity to see a lot of these athletes that in the past may have come to one or two of your camps and then have moved to other parts of the country, but it's not that way anymore. I mean, it's not a time like last year at this time. Commit one after another. This signing class that you had, you know, in February and then extended on with a few more additions was perhaps one of the better overall classes that you have. Talk about that, because you know, when sure. you arrived here, your objective, and I remember you saying that we want to build, you know, I know it may sound cliche-ish, but you want to build a culture. I mean, and really that's sure. what it is. You know, I mean, you want to build the foundation where it's not a one-time thing. You don't go 9-2 and then the next couple of years you find yourself at
Absolutely.
4-6. You've gotten to the point now where you look at your roster, and I have plenty of times, and you look at kids that, and I talk to this, a lot of coaches about this when it comes to you, because your eye for talent has gone back for years and years and years, and having an opportunity, and I say this year there's not going to be a tight end like Sterling Palmer anywhere. And I've looked at guys like that, but here's somebody that you brought in kind of under the radar, but yet a kid that is more than functional at this level and beyond. Talk about the way you approach the recruiting. Is it the same for you as it has been in the past?
Yeah, pretty much so, Larry. One of the things I think, you know, we're getting close in the last two recruiting classes that we've had, 75% of the kids that we have signed have been in our camp. If you go back and roll the calendar back to my days at the University of Miami, when we really got it rolling and all the guys that were like first-round draft choices, the Danny Morgans, the Santana Mosses, and a lot of those kids, you know, they had all been to our camps. And the same thing happened at North Carolina. It takes a while to kind of lay the foundation. You get kids into the camps. And year one, maybe it's 30, 40, 50% of the kids that you sign. Then the next year, it's 40, 50, 60%. And hopefully, eventually, you know, you get to the point that just probably about 80 to 90% of the kids that you sign have come to your camp. And you know, we'll get kids that will come in, whether it's this Thursday or this coming Saturday or the following Thursday. One of the things that's a real highlight for us, Larry, is obviously at the end of July, we've had the the 7-on-7 tournament on our campus, and we've had, you know, 25 to 30 teams come. They bring 25 players, and it's an unbelievable opportunity to watch kids compete and to play, you know, for their school, but it gives us a chance to evaluate them. And for me, you know, I mean, it's something I love watching kids, you know, go through drills and do those kinds of things. You know, you love to see them in the competition, and you love to see is it a kid that gets in the line in one-on-one, whether it's pass rush, offensive lineman against defensive lineman, is it a wide receiver against a corner, and is he looking for somebody that's the best guy out there that he wants to compete against, or is he the guy that stands in the back of the line, he wants to showcase himself and go against somebody that's, you know, a marginal football player.
Right.
You get a chance to watch the quarterbacks and the running backs and all of our coaches. I mean, they do a great job of, you know, trying to help the kids do things in these camps. I mean, it's not all just about, you know, height, weight, 40-yard dashes. I mean, we really, truly, Larry, I honestly say this, we want these kids to leave these camps and feel like that they learned something that will help them become a better football player for their high school football team and go back and take, whether it's drills, whether it's tips or, you know, advice about, you know, things within each of the different positions. And so hopefully it's something that the kids leave there and the coaches go, you know what, I'm really glad I brought my players to that camp because they got a chance to compete, showcase themselves, but they also learned something.
You know, and Coach, to play off of that, I still remember, and my memory's crazy like that, but you and I were sitting at the University of Miami, and we're talking about recruiting, and we're talking about lists, and you go, Larry, I don't go off of lists. I just got to go off of what my coaches will see live. And that, and it looks like you're doing the same thing now, because during the spring, there wasn't anywhere that I was, whether it be in Orlando, whether it was in Palm Beach or down south, that there wasn't an FIU coach, whether it's Coach Harris or Coach any of them. Talk about that, because you that's the one thing that you've always been able to do is get those type of coaches who are on the same page as you, and that's important.
Well, it's a lesson, obviously, Larry, that I learned from Jimmy Johnson, being on his staff for 15 years, and just, you know, the culture within your program, the athleticism of the kids, the way they compete, how much passion they have for the game, and then you just groom your assistant coaches and you coach them up on, this is the model, this is what we're trying to build, this is what we want our athletes to look like. And you know, you referenced Tim Harris and Aubrey Hill and Alan Mogridge and a lot of the guys on our coaching staff, my son Drew Davis, and they have a passion to go out and watch kids, and we covered the state for, you know, pretty much the entire month of May and April, and watching guys in their spring games and stuff, and they come back and they say, you know, here are some guys that absolutely really fit the bill. And you know, and Larry, you referenced it a little bit earlier, and I still believe it 25 years later that, you know, one of the things people go so on lists and these 5-star, 4-star, and I could give you a litany of guys, the Ed Reeds and the Reggie Waynes and the Santana Mosses and a lot of kids that I had at North Carolina that eventually, like an Eric Ebron, that was like a 1 or 2 star, and you know, and they became first round draft choices in the National Football League. And it's the talent and the eye of, you know, looking at what, you know, will feel like that those kids are going to come in. And you know, and hopefully, you know, we'll find some more of this coming these next 2 weeks at our camps.
And having an opportunity, Coach, to watch you guys during the spring this year and being at your spring game and, you know, you working on some of the players that you wanted to see a little bit more out of. What do you think you came away with? I mean, did you come away with some definitive, things to say, hey, listen, you know, when we start back in the summer, this is going to be where this kid's going to be?
Well, you know, probably the most impressive thing is team speed. We've gotten significantly faster over the last couple of years. A lot of it has to do with Jed Smith, the strength and conditioning program. A lot of it has to do with the talent that we've recruited, kids that can run in the 4.4s, 4.5s, 4.6s. We actually, Larry, we had 83 kids that ran their testing day back in at the end of February, and we actually had 57 of those kids broke 5 flat in a 40-yard dash, and that included offensive linemen, defensive linemen, and so we've, you know, so that was something that was somewhat impressive over the spring, and like you referenced a little bit, you know, we really focused an awful lot on our depth. We graduated some seniors and stuff in the offensive line, the defensive line, and we really wanted to focus on trying to make sure that, you know, that a lot of the younger guys got an awful lot of opportunities to showcase and scrimmages and situational football things. We've got 14 starters coming back, 7 on offense and 7 on defense. And so, you know, those guys, we wanted them to continue to grow and to improve, but we also wanted to make sure that we focused on the backup players. And, you know, it was exciting yesterday where our freshman class reported yesterday and checked into the dorm, and today was their very first day to work out and as part of the 8-week discretionary period of time. And so it's kind of fun to watch those guys, you know, what they looked like a year ago as we were recruiting them, and now all of a sudden they're on campus and they're running and they're lifting and they're going out there, and it's kind of fun to be around those kids now.
And besides the speed, the size of the of your yep. front line, it seems like every year since you've been here, it got bigger and bigger, and that's obviously yeah. recruiting, but it's also your weight training program. Talk about that, sure. because that's important because the line of scrimmages dictate.
Yeah. Oh, it really is. And I, you know, obviously, if you have any chance at all, there's you know two things. One, the ability to control the line of scrimmage, whether it's the offensive line or the defensive line, and then obviously the quarterback. Those two things right there really indicate whether or not you've got a chance to be unique and special as far as a football team. And you know, we feel very, very good about James Morgan returning. He was the Conference USA Newcomer Player of the Year, and we really think that he's got a chance to play on the next level in the National Football League. And the offensive line, the defensive line, we wanted to try to get bigger. And we've guys like Noah Curtis and Kevin Oliver that's yep. on our team, and you know, they're in the 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", category. DeAndre Demery, our starting left tackle, is 6'6", 6'7". And, you know, so we're really trying to get bigger in the offensive and defensive line and to be quick and to be fast. But, you know, just the power and the explosiveness of those guys really make a big difference on the game day.
Good stuff. Coach, again, thanks so much for taking the time. I appreciate it. We're looking yeah. forward. I'll be there on Thursday. Check you guys out. I know that it's exciting. It's exciting.
Yeah.
Any of those camps are exciting because these kids have an opportunity to not only perform in front of you, but a bunch of other colleges, which is exciting
and
as
you
well.
You know, one of the things, Larry, before we get off the air, one of the things for kids that are out there listening and high school coaches, you know, a lot, we're bringing in a lot of other colleges that are not necessarily just Division I programs
right.
because there's a lot of kids that need opportunities to play at different types of levels. And so, you know, this is all really trying to help promote kids in South Florida, give them an opportunity to extend their career and maybe get a college education and go someplace. So hopefully we'll get a great turnout and look forward to seeing you on Thursday.
I'll be there. Thanks a lot, Coach. Coach Butch Davis ends what has been an awesome first hour. Started off with Jake Elman from the Palm Beach Post, Wesley Frater from Tournament of Champions, Steve Davis, the head coach at Plantation, and Coach Butch Davis from FIU. Don't go away. We have another hour. Don't forget, about 7:45 or so, Ephraim Banda from the University of Miami will join us talking about their camps as well. Ernest Jones, the athletic director at Florida Memorial University. They are starting football. Coach Mike Manasco of Miami Palmetto. When we come back, Ken Mastroli from Mastroli Passing Academy.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.